Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, having come in our study through Paul's epistle to the Romans to chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11, we are seeing the certainty of eternal life as grounded in the prior work of God and the joy that that brings to the heart of a believer. In verses 9 and 10, we answer the question, how can we be sure of eternal life? And if you recall, there is a twofold guarantee which rests upon the work of reconciliation. And we have to understand what that is all about. And then we come in verse 11 to this question, what is a conspicuous result of biblical assurance? And the answer is rejoicing, joy. When you have a biblical assurance that you have been justified before Almighty God, what could you possibly experience but a heart filled with joy? And so we read in Romans 5, 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So the conspicuous result of biblical assurance is rejoicing, exulting, exuberant expressions of joy. Now we need to realize that not all religious boasting is good. In fact, a great deal of it is actually quite bad. The Jews boasted in their national privileges. They treated God as if he was their special property. And they bragged upon themselves and their own self-righteousness and their special status as the covenant people of God. And all of that was sinful boasting. The Corinthian Christians boasted regarding their favored leaders. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul calls that carnality. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, lining up behind their favorite preachers, their favorite Christian leaders, and boasting about their leader as opposed to and in contrast with a leader that someone else prefers. Now, folks, everybody has their own preferences of ministry. Some styles appeal to this kind of people, some styles appeal to another kind of people. Different personalities, different deliveries, different approaches, different ways of organizing truth. And that's just, for starters, that's setting aside for the moment, differences in belief and doctrine, which really are far more important, far more foundational, far more substantive. And yet how many of God's people will divide over secondary matters, will divide over show and performance rather than substance. And I like this one, and I like that one, and it sounds just like the Corinthian catastrophe. I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos. Some people like Paul because apparently he was more intellectual in his approach, and that appealed to them. Some liked Peter, Cephas, because he was probably more emotional, more bombastic in his style of ministry. And some people preferred that. Some people liked Apollos, who apparently was a more polished orator than either of the other two. And they really enjoyed getting swept up in his oratory. And so everybody divided up among their favorites, and Paul said, "Don't you realize that all of us are serving the same master, and we are all declaring the same truth, and we are all doing the Lord's work, and God has designed that there will be different men with different styles and different personalities, and they all minister to the body of Christ. And all of them are beneficial to you if you will get over your childish-like behavior and start benefiting from each one." Now, in the case of Peter, Paul, and Apollos, they were all preaching the same message. They all believed the same thing, but it was simply a matter of style. Somebody liked this style, somebody liked that style, and different Corinthians were boasting about their favored preacher. That's not good. All religious boasting is not good. The Jews' boasting was not good. The Corinthian boasting was not good. Also in Corinth, some were boasting about spiritual gifts and attainments. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul chides them for that. That is not good. Some Jews boasted about the number of Gentiles that they had converted to circumcision, according to Galatians 6:13, and that was not good. An awful lot of religious boasting is frankly carnal. Does not bring honor and glory to God. There's far too much boasting, and there's far too much that is of no substance. In fact, it is harmful to the cause of Christ. But what Paul is also telling us here by the Spirit of God in Romans 5:11 is that there is a proper type of boasting, and that is when you boast in God because of your relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are boasting that you have been reconciled to God, though undeserving of that blessing. So you're not boasting in yourself, you're boasting in Christ. And that should be a cause for exuberant rejoicing that could even fall into the category of boasting. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And those who boast because of spiritual blessings will receive greater blessings to come. You see, our boasting should always be in the Lord. We boast in what He has done. We boast in what God has done in mercy, in love, in grace. We boast in what Christ has done in His sacrificial death upon the cross. We boast in the goodness and the glory and the power and the wisdom and the mercy of God, our God, who has become our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can boast in that all we want. We boast in the gospel. But we don't boast in ourselves. We don't boast in our group, our institution. We've got to get over that, folks, and boast in the Lord. And rejoicing of this nature, being filled with exuberant joy and wanting to express it vocally and energetically, is the normal result of biblical assurance. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that kind of rejoicing, that kind of boasting, that kind of exuberant expression of praise and thanksgiving and satisfaction in who God is and what He has done is not only acceptable to God, but it is honoring to God. But who has just cause to claim this assurance that we're talking about, this wonderful assurance of salvation? Well, it is those who have been justified, and this kind of takes us back through what we've seen so far in chapter 5. Those who have been justified by faith, those who are experiencing persevering faith, that takes us back to verses 3 and 4 of this chapter, Those who experience the love of God in their hearts, that takes us back to verse 5. Those who rejoice in spiritual blessings, and that brings us here to verse 11. And this text points to additional information concerning the nature of salvation, what salvation looks like, what God is doing in the lives of those he saves. And back to verse 11, but not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now let's comb back through this. Our condition before justification is described as enemies of God. That's who we were before we were justified. The condition of being justified is the opposite, the reversal. We are made friends. We are reconciled. God is no longer hostile toward us, but he was. That's a missing note. In much of modern Christianity, God is hostile toward all unjustified sinners. But those who have been reconciled to God can rest in the satisfaction and peace and assurance and joy that God is no longer hostile toward us, and therefore we are no longer hostile toward God, which we were. That's another note that needs to be understood. God is hostile toward unredeemed, uncleansed sinners, and unregenerated sinners are hostile toward God. Whether they understand it or not, whether they admit it or not, if they don't think so, it's probably because they don't really know who God is and they don't understand what subtle forms our hostility takes. But when we have been reconciled to God, we are no longer hostile toward him. Now we love him before we hated him. Now we love his word before we hated his word. Now we love his ways before we despised his ways. Now we love his works before we were not very interested in his works. Before, we did not care for the people of God, but now we love the people of God, and we now joyfully submit to him. Now, some of these can be counterfeited. People can think they love God when they are actually loving something they call God, who is an idol, a false god of their own mental imagination, which does not correspond to the God of the Bible, and thus deceive themselves about loving God. Don't do that. Be sure that the God you claim to love is indeed the God of the Bible. Some people claim to love the people of God, but what they really love is the social aspects of the institutional church, and they particularly love those aspects of the church that are least reflective of the glory of God, and may in many cases be fond of people who've never truly been saved, like themselves, are church members without the new birth. And so you can deceive yourself in that way. Maybe one of the best ways to know if we have truly been reconciled to God is our response to the Bible, the Word of God. Do you really love the Word? Are you really eager to understand the Word? Do you truly find the Word to be your spiritual food, that you must have it? You must be nourished upon it. Your soul, your spiritual man, the new man created in Christ Jesus, must have regular doses of the Bible in order to be satisfied. If that's true, you are a born-again child of God. If that's not true, no matter what else your profession may be, it must be an empty profession. Think on these things and come back again tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.